Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
And welcome to Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners. And you're in for a very special treat today, an entire show with noted firearms attorney Evan Knappen.
Our most popular guest and our earliest sponsor, the first one to have the balls to sponsor our show.
Hey, I know a good show when I see it, hear it.
What the hell are you doing here?
Well, everyone makes a mistake. Come on.
Oh, this is going to set the tenor for the show.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
I don't care. After the show, we're going to eat heavy, listeners, just nice. So you know. So
that's why I'm here, really.
Our most popular.
It's the only reason anybody ever comes here.
That's
Evan.
Right. It's it.
You know, our most popular guest, and Sandy posted on the Gunfire Radio Facebook page if anybody had questions for you to email Sandy, and about 15 momos just posted the questions on the Facebook page instead of emailing Sandy. So it's nice to see even our listeners need help. Okay. You know, we were laughing when we first went on air because Evan had an equipment failure and I could see his nipple through his vest.
Very nice.
Hey, it's good. It was done intentionally.
It was
for
done.
You, Anthony.
I know.
You know,
I'm starting to worry.
So we have
I'm hot for you, buddy.
Uh-oh, oh shit. Help me. Help me. Help me.
I want to know what gun is for hire.
Hey, you're on your own.
Evan invited Scott Bach here. He's on the way, and I hear Frank Fiammingo is jealous. But Frank, this was all by accident, so don't take it personal. All right, we still love you, baby.
Frank too.
Yeah, of course we
everybody.
Do.
Everybody,
and we're going to talk about
him
later.
We're all on the same team, man.
Hell yeah. You know, things are really starting to
heat up,
morph since the Newtown thing, and that's one of the reasons why Evan's here also.
You're not kidding.
Before we get into Evan's whole thing, you know, I caught some grief from a bunch of people mentioning video games and Hollywood movies, you know, I read Grossman's book, Stop Teaching Our Children to Kill. I read it 3 times, actually, and listen, it's not just the games and the movies. It's a combination of everything as well as parenting. But a little fact, if you have a child that's approaching 18 years of age, Grossman estimates that they have seen over 200,000 random acts of violence and have witnessed over 40,000 murders in their lifetime so far in movies. That's not counting video games. So you all can't tell me it doesn't have an effect on some kids in desensitizing them.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to address that. You guys should read that book. It's like $15 online. You know, Stop Teaching Our Children to Kill. And
it
you're going to read
things
it.
Things into perspective.
One of the biggest things I read, Evan, was that he said, Grossman said that a lot of kids that have socializing problems, they'll play these games and they're in total control and command of their world.
Right.
And then they go to school, and when they get pushed around for the lunch money, they don't know how to respond, so they internalize it, and they go back and take the anger out on the game, and then at some point, the game trips into reality.
Yes. Right.
It doesn't happen to every kid, okay?
Wow.
Sean Brown posts on Facebook a million times, don't blame the games, don't blame the games. You know, that's because he hit his head when he was younger.
Well,
it doesn't affect him the same way.
And if you grow up with this thing is normal. When we were kids, we used to actually go out and play with one another.
That's odd.
Yeah.
That's
now,
awkward.
Now it's very, very strange.
I found both my kids play Halo and other games, I mean, extensively. And you know what? It made them great shots. And they know what to do. I mean, it actually does have a training component.
Oh, without a doubt.
And he also is good at, when they have accurate weapons recognition in these games, to recognize what they are, how they function. Look, I've seen it have a positive, but my kids aren't psychopaths.
But
you know what?
But
they enjoy it. And look,
but you also do things with your kids.
Right.
You get them out. You
there
don't
was
sit
a balance.
In front of, yes,
right.
Exactly. Right.
Teddy didn't come home at 4 o'clock on Friday and play video games till Monday morning. Right.
No, that's right.
Okay. So there was a balance.
There
and
is.
He shot real guns.
There is.
And he learned a safety and responsibility.
But the one thing that really does concern me is I love the First Amendment as much as the Second Amendment.
Yep.
You got to be careful. Now, it is true with kids. You know, kids are different than adults. So you can restrict children from reading certain things, seeing certain movies, and why not playing certain games? But as parents, that's your job. But when they talk about bans, if they talk about banning video games, talk about banning guns, talk about banning anything like that, it immediately puts my back up against the wall. I treasure the First Amendment as much as the Second. And then what game are they going to? They're going to decide Deer Hunter is too violent a game? They're going to decide what? Where is it end? And it's the same arguments that go with guns, too. So we got to be very careful
here. It falls on the
here.
Parents' lap.
It's the parents, just like guns do. Okay, we got, this is the problem. Parents have to be responsible. Imagine that.
You mean keep your guns locked
up?
Oh,
and well, if necessary, for your given circumstance, every individual has to make that choice, right? There's safe ways to secure a firearm and still have access when you have young kids.
Of course,
and then
sure.
if you train your kids. And look, if my kids play video games, am I going to talk to them before they play the game and try to make it clear what's reality, what isn't? This is a game. You know, even if they're starting out with a violent game, it could be a fantasy game, but they still need to know that.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So it's good parenting that's the difference. And we talk about bans and restrictions. I immediately have a problem. That's not a solution. That's not a solution. It will take away our freedoms. We go down a slippery slope, and you see it in every malum prohibitum that the government proposes.
A little lead
a malum prohibitum, meaning as opposed to a malum in se. The malum in se is something evil within itself.
Well,
this is an important distinction, really. I know, I mean, we're allowed to be, I heard a little intellectual on the show, a smidge. So I'm going to teach you guys malum prohibitum versus malum in se. Malum in se, murder, rape, robbery. Do we even need a law to say those are bad? We don't. We know what those are.
Sure.
But malum prohibitum mean some legislative body arbitrarily decided
this is
that
bad.
This should be bad.
Yeah.
And that's where freedom takes a hit.
Right.
All right. That's where freedom. So that's what we need to be careful of, and we need to emphasize responsible gun ownership, responsible parenting. All these things today mean responsibility, and yet that's where our society is one of what? Excuses. Always excuses.
Yes.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Hit it! Hit it!
Back listening to Gun for Hire Radio with Evan Knappen.
You know, Evan kept making reference to the First Amendment, and I just want to talk about something. You know, we had this newspaper, Evan, in Westchester and Rockland County that released the names of 44,000 gun owners, their names and addresses. Well, lo and behold, a lot of pro-gun and civil libertarian people released the names, addresses, Facebook pages, and everything of the entire staff of the entire newspaper.
Don't you love that?
And they got their panties in a knot about it, and they hired armed guards to protect them from us law-abiding citizens.
The people who were against guns hired armed guards.
You know, outing us and making us in the same stature as pedophiles, you know, now— like I said, and we joked about it before, we should wear a star on our arm, and I know you're going to talk about that, but there's a councilwoman in New York State that won't release names for Putnam County. She's going to take it to court, even though the newspaper got a request for the Freedom of Information Act. And now we just found out yesterday that the Star Ledger is going to release names also. They're pondering releasing names of gun owners in New Jersey.
Keep in mind that in New Jersey, there is an administrative rule that says all these records are confidential.
Even under a Freedom of Information Act?
Confidential. So how they got around a freedom and got around
that.
Well, it can be changed. And how they did it, I don't know, because they'd have to get around that rule of confidentiality that does exist in New Jersey.
See, the Ledger had an article that said, do you think it's right to publish the names of people who own guns for the safety of our children?
Well, let me just say this, that this is interesting. When they did the interactive map, what it really did, if you look at it, the other effect was it told all the bad guys where to do their hot robberies, their home invasions, to who was unarmed.
Right.
And so they did a disservice to all the unarmed people as well, because they've made them. Now, granted, the armed people may be more subject to burglary and have their privacy invaded. And there was one woman who had a prior domestic violence stalker that now knew where she was because of this. And I understand that. But on the other side, they've also increased the risk to these individuals. But, you know, what's interesting about the release of records in New York as far as gun owners is nothing new and goes way back 30 years ago. Jerry Prizer ran the West Side Rifle and Pistol. You know Jerry?
Yes.
Well, Jerry was a gun rights dynamo, right? He got all the records from New York and used it for his mailing list. Pro-gun. He got every licensee and was able to go and alert them and became a political powerhouse by using the records for that. So if these records are going to become publicly available, then these are amazing lists of those people that have a vested interest in fighting gun laws. So that's what Jerry Prizer did, and it worked like magic for him.
All right, but here's what's going to happen to people.
Yeah.
You got a husband and wife that have a kid, and the next-door neighbor is not going to want their kid to play with them because they found out they have a gun in the house.
Well, you know—
This is the crap that we're going to have to endure.
We've had that.
We've had babysitting, yes.
I have guns. Big surprise. You have guns, huh? Big surprise. So people know we have guns, and it doesn't bother me because my philosophy is what— you know what Leonidas said to Xerxes at the hot gates, right? Molon Levay, come and take them. Go ahead.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's the difference. We have the guns, okay? That is a key. So, I mean, I understand these people's problem and why it should be protected. I get that. But on the other hand, people want to know I own guns? Yeah, you know it. And believe me, I know how to use it, and so do you. So there's the difference when it comes to gun ownership.
But do you think it's going to be used as a step now for registration, confiscation, or anything like that?
Well,
we're getting a lot of people that aren't really adamant and strong gun owners like we are, that what they have is they own one gun. You know, they own one gun.
I'll tell you what, and here's another. Look, I will tell you right now, I'd like to know all the permit to carry issuances in Essex County. Because wait till you see how many are political and how many are friends of friends.
Yeah.
And you want to really reveal it? Oh, then we can look at it as to who's getting what and why, and see how the average law-abiding guy is being denied, but the political favors and the other folks there are getting it that are unqualified.
That.
So there's a whole other aspect to whether this is public information or not. But currently in Jersey, there is that confidentiality administrative code provision. If it can be overcome, well, then there could be. There's a yin and yang to this, right? There's a two sides way to look at, and getting the information could be a help to the pro-gun forces. So you see that occur.
I'm going to tick Evan off. Mayor Healey is having a gun buyback program this Saturday in Jersey City. Evan, tell us about that.
Okay, gun buybacks are totally illegal in New Jersey. I mean, I put a $5,000 reward on my website for anyone to show me how they're legal.
Yeah,
$5,000 reward. Why? Because
no FFL.
There is no. Not only that, there's no exemption that allows you to bring a firearm to a church. There's no exemption that allows for these acquisitions. There's no exemption for police to be there. The only way you can voluntarily surrender a firearm in New Jersey is with advance written notice. It's under 2C39:12. It's called voluntary surrender. There's very specific provisions that need to be followed. That's it. This entire buyback scheme, every time they do it, they're blatantly violating New Jersey law And nobody enforces, nobody cares.
So let me ask you this, okay? This is what really ticks me off is, why is no one making a big stink out of this? We've got associations in New Jersey. We've got representation in New Jersey. Why aren't we suing?
Hey, I personally
Why aren't
tried.
We trying to prosecute?
I made this statement.
What happened?
$5,000 reward. No one's proving it. Oh, no, it's legal. Yeah, where? Show me. Show me the code. Show me the statute. Show me the case. It doesn't exist. Why? Well, who makes the choice? The county prosecutor has to decide whether to prosecute or not.
Can't we put political pressure against the county prosecutors?
Go try. Put political pressure to stop a gun buyback that they're in favor of.
Right.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So since the politics cut against it, they're not going to care, and the violation of the law takes place.
Literally, we're having to stand by as citizens and watch our laws being violated.
Let me just say, I had a case once with an individual who was charged with possession of an assault firearm and was looking at a very serious time, and we'd applied him into PTI. The judge said, this county, to the prosecutor, will pay a person $200 to turn the gun in. How can you deny him PTI? So he used it against him in the criminal, which did help a law-abiding citizen stay law-abiding.
Nice.
Yeah.
Don't you just love that? All right, well, we're coming back with more Evan Knapp. For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knapp has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
Are we back? I'm back. So all the gun dealers that are tied into Gun for Hire Radio sent me a fax. The state police, because they can't handle the volume, they're canceling their 900 lines.
Yeah,
and all
solution.
The dealers have to get an 800 fax number, which is going to disrupt everything. Knappen, there was rumors going around, Evan, that NICS was purposely slowing down in New Jersey, but they just can't handle the volume since Newtown and Obama's reelection.
Yeah, there was a lot
there's
going
a volume issue, but there's also another legal issue here.
Tell
that
us.
When it comes to NICS, you have NICS's National Instant Check System. It's federal law. It came out of the Brady Bill, right? Under federal law with the federal NICS, it has greatly expanded hours than our state line does, and it's free, 100% free. So my question is, why does the state of New Jersey pay for something being a POC, point of contact, to enforce a federal gun law that we could get done for free? In other words,
we're already paying for it.
There's no need to pay for it. There's no need for the New Jersey State Police to even run
a background check
gun line on gun checks. There's a permit system. Every permit is processed through, what agency? Oh, the New Jersey State Police. every firearms ID card went through where? Oh, the New Jersey State Police. Why do we have a NICS system that we have to pay for? That's a federal law. Why is New Jersey enforcing a federal law? There's a free phone number with broader hours, no charge, that the feds will do to enforce their own effing law, okay?
I like
and,
that.
And, right? Why,
right,
and,
right,
and,
right?
And we're doing this under, what law in New Jersey made us a POC? No law. It was done by executive administrative fiat under Whitman. Okay. Again,
really?
A bunch of You look in New Jersey, 2C39 and 58. There's not a single law that says the state police shall conduct an instant background check and charge $15. No, No law that does it. So it's pulled out of somebody's ass, made into a entire bureaucracy that we don't need. Then the taxpayers pay for it when we can get it for free, and it's more restrictive than even the federal law that it's attempting to enforce.
Wow. Yeah, but
and
this,
again, I ask, why is New Jersey enforcing federal
Because it's New
law?
Jersey.
There you go.
Yeah,
right, this is an entire Jersey. Obscene
because
situation.
Yeah.
100% obscene.
It's a, listen.
It's costing us money. And it does nothing because the state police already have the written stuff.
You want to talk about obscene? I have this article here. Belleville, Illinois, not Belleville, New Jersey.
Yeah, Belleville,
a
Illinois.
Manager of a Denny's asked cops off duty wearing their guns to leave.
Yeah.
Detectives off duty though. They finished their shift to leave because the female officer's gun, the presence of her gun, was making another diner uncomfortable.
Well, that's understandable.
Okay.
I mean, it had to do with this whole poached egg thing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I get it.
But
the whole Grand Slam thing right out there.
It really was.
Yeah,
and then,
you see what happens, though? You see the gun phobia that exists? You don't even want police officers in your restaurant anymore?
Well, they
arm police officers.
Well, there you go.
This is where it goes.
Only in Illinois, right?
Illinois.
Yeah. It's where it goes.
Yeah.
The problem with this is we're not standing up and fighting this as a body. And we're allowing slice by slice by slice to be taken away from our rights, demeaning us, making us look like we are the criminals just because we happen to own a firearm, want to protect our Second Amendment rights. We become akin to pedophiles.
Let me just say, Denny's may have done this, but you will never see a donut shop do that.
No.
That
no,
just ain't
very
happening.
True.
Okay, not
no,
happening. Dunkin'
happened.
Donuts,
Dunkin' Donuts, Krispy Kreme,
never.
Not
going to
happen.
I'm going to tell you a story.
They would go broke
with guns and badges. Not a problem.
I worked in a deli as a kid. The cops were in and out. They used to give them coffee for free. Everything else, pretty much, at cost. Right?
That's because they had a gun.
It is Jersey.
But
yeah.
I'll tell you what happened.
Because they needed to be protected.
I'll tell you what happened. A guy came in to the counter, handed the owner of the store a bill. The owner said it's counterfeit. An argument ensued. The guy grabbed the bill back from the owner of the deli, went running out of the store, and ran smack into two police officers that were walking into the establishment, okay, and got locked up. There's a lot to be said about having that police presence at your business. And for a couple of cups of free coffee a day, I'd welcome it, because when they got to work, they got to work, just like firemen. You know, I'm not saying they should get everything for free, but here's Denny's, you know, alienating cops that are allowed to carry,
it's
that
really
are there
ridiculous.
To protect people, sworn
because
to protect people.
Because
it was making somebody
nervous. That's where we're headed for. We're headed for the attitude of the UK.
Well,
out a nail clipper. And you get locked up for menacing.
Sure.
I know you want to talk about it more later, but what about the Russian newspaper Prada?
Right.
They came out.
Well, at least, see, here is a perfect example. What we're talking about is an editorial that written by a great journalist from Russia who lived this, who said Russia used to be a free country. Under the czars, Russia was a free country.
Correct.
Because they were armed. But as soon as the Reds came in and took over Russia and they confiscated all the arms, it all went to hell. And he, in a sense, is writing this editorial warning America. Now, he said some pretty tough things about America, but I don't argue with it, because he said what's happening is we're slipping into socialism and we're becoming a society that has lost its morals.
Well, I mean, I agree with his premise, with the exception of Jews didn't fare so well under
no,
the Tsar.
But
of course, the minor, yeah, right. So, you know, but then that's a reason why Israel is very much armed.
Yes,
they
kind of exactly
learned.
Right.
They learned.
the hard way. Let's
say
right.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So.
But this is what we're dealing with now, where, again, you know, like we talked about it before. I mean, this is Russia warning us not to give up our guns.
Yes.
This is Pravda. Now, compare what Pravda said.
Well, Pravda does mean truth in Russian.
True.
So maybe,
yes.
There's a reason now.
There's a reason there. All right. But this is Pravda versus the Star Ledger or the Bergen Record.
Correct.
You know? And who are really kind of on the other side of this entire issue.
Exactly.
And you're seeing it happen, too, with all throughout all of media right now. There is an assault right now on gun owners and anything that even looks like a gun.
When we come back, Knappen's telephone story and some questions.
With over 25 years expert knowledge and experience to help you select the perfect firearm, the Bullet Hole has one of the largest firearm selections in the New York metro area, with over 300 handguns in stock. You'll find all the major brands, including Glock, Ruger, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Sig Sauer, and Springfield Armory. And if you're looking for a hunting or tactical rifle or shotgun, they have an extensive inventory of top brands like Benelli, Bushmaster, Remington, and a full line of police equipment and shooting accessories. And the best part is, you can shoot there too. The Bullet Hole has a 10-port, state-of-the-art, climate-controlled indoor range and is the only indoor range in the New York metro area that can handle anything from handgun to high-powered rifle. The range is bright, clean, and safe with full-time, helpful, certified range safety officers and an air scrubber filtration system, like breathing mountain fresh air, and a large selection of range ammo at really great prices. There's even a full-time gunsmith on staff, and you can even get your New Jersey or Pennsylvania hunting licenses. The Bullet Hole is on Rutgers Street, across from the main Gun for Hire campus, less than 10 miles from Manhattan. And if you're a law enforcement officer or armed security guard and need to qualify, just drop by any Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. No appointment necessary. Find out more on the web at bulletholenj.com or just follow the link from the gunforhireradio.com resource page. The Bullet Hole, North Jersey's gun authority for over 25 years. Come see Manny, Jen, or Jennifer and tell them you heard about them on Gun for Hire Radio.
Okay, somebody locked the studio. I just saw Scott Bach walk in. We don't need two lawyers in here.
He's late. Too bad. So this segment is brought to you by New Jersey Second Amendment Society.
Cheaper than a back waxing.
We got a letter on that.
Yes, we did.
NJ2AS.com. Let me tell you, they're going to be doing a bunch of stuff, and I want to keep you aware of it. Their next meeting is January 22nd. Where is it going to be? Oh, yeah, at Gun for Hire headquarters in Belleville. Come and join us. And they're going to have a rally day on February 8th. They're going to march on Trenton with other New Jersey 2A groups. This is going to be a good one. Let me tell you something. If you haven't joined yet, you cheap bastards, please join New Jersey Second Amendment Society. I got an email from Stan in Arizona. So I was looking for a good place to get a back waxing, but they were closed today. Damn. So I asked myself, what else could I get for less than a back waxing? Then I remembered that you keep calling me a cheap bastard in your radio show.
Like it's
he wrote
appropriate
use, like
work.
New
yes,
Jersey.
Yes, exactly.
So I took the advice and joined up over at the NJ2AS. I don't want to hear you call me cheap bastard until December 31st, 2013 to remind me to renew. So NJ2AS.com, New Jersey Second Amendment Facebook page, Second Amendment Society Facebook page. All you cheap bastards except Stan.
Except Stan.
Please write a check for $35 and join.
That's great.
All right, we're back. Knappen, I got the first question to lead off. Can I ask him a question,
you
please?
Absolutely can.
All right, this is from an anonymous person who doesn't want me to mention his name. He doesn't want to draw attention, blah, 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 blah. Question, is there a conflict between the gun-free zone regulations and the exemption in New Jersey laws which permit property and business owners to carry on their own property at their businesses? Por ejemplo, example, may the owner of a building which houses a private school, okay, legally carry on the premises?
Okay. This involves both federal and state law. There's federal gun-free zone in schools, and there's state gun-free zones. There are exemptions in both the federal law and the state law for gun-free zones and those that live and work, etc. And what this fella needs to do is, frankly, I'll shamelessly plug my book. Buy my book. You'll have the answer in writing, and you can rely upon it to your specific circumstances.
Which you sometimes need to have. That's
right,
a great
because
book
this
to
because
carry with you.
This is the deal here because it can get touchy. But there are exemptions, but he's got to be very careful as to the method as to how he does it.
What about the owner of the private school? What if I owned a daycare center?
Right. Well, there are provisions. Now, the private school issue I'd have to double check on, but there is provisions for exemption for property nearby, for those within 1,000 feet. There's federal exemption for even carry. If you have a carry license, you're exempt federally. You know, they don't mention about that. But it's there, but it gets tricky. And remember, exemptions are normally affirmative defenses, which means ultimately the proof is on you initially to prove your innocence. So you are in that boat. But in New Jersey, all the gun laws are that way. You have to prove your innocence.
Another question. I got to get my questions done because the savant is over there. He wants to get all his questions done, but I'm getting them in first. All right, this one comes from Dan Grodovic. I know that there exists a firearms trust, which basically enables people to possess firearms under a trust without actually owning them themselves, so to speak. If what I am hearing in speculation regarding upcoming legislation, for example, firearms and mags that are grandfathered, will not be transferable upon the owner's death, do you think a firearms trust would be a viable option?
Yeah, let me talk about this. This is a really amazing thing.
Sorry, Sandy.
The NFA Firearms Trust, for National Firearms Act, the Firearms Trust is a magnificent vehicle that allows an individual, if you live in a state that allows for NFA weapons to be possessed, and that's what we're talking about here, machine guns, suppressors, destructive devices, SBRs, short barrel rifles, etc. If you reside in a place or intend to keep it in a place where that's lawful, then you can get an NFA trust, and the trust is an inter vivos trust or a revocable trust that is set up specifically with firearms and this in mind. And the advantage of this trust is really quite astounding, because if you have an NFA trust, there is no fingerprinting, no photograph, and no sign-off by the CLE. Your chief does not sign, so it stays private. Because if you go as an individual to buy one of these and you fill out the federal Form 4, your Form 1, depending on what you're doing, your chief has to approve it. And if he just thinks no one should have one of these guns, there's no appeals process.
Really?
But the trust completely gets rid. And the thing is, the delay on getting the paperwork done, it's often the chief just sitting on it, not moving
correct,
on it.
Correct.
So with an NFA trust, you avoid the chief sign-off, and you avoid these other issues, and then you estate plan. Now, getting to the issue raised by the questioner here, getting close to it anyway, is it estate plans. Well, how does that work? How does a trust work even generally? What is a trust? Do you know the first trust was done by Patrick Henry in America?
Really?
And I think I hear that music. So when you come back, I'm going to explain to you
Patrick
about trust.
Patrick Henry.
Patrick Henry, and how important this is, and how this questioner is dead on. And it's some really good stuff to know.
And push comes to shove. Strangers help strangers get by.
For the first time ever, you can get the very same extreme performance gun care system used by U.S. Special Forces, the FBI, Navy SEALs, and Army Rangers. Their guns need to work all the time, no exception. That's why this very special formula was created. And this very same formula is being made available to you. So now, you can get up to 10 times more rounds down range between cleaning and ultra-reliable lubrication in any condition, from blistering desert heat to bone-cracking Arctic tundra. For a very limited time, you can get this amazing gun care system at a ridiculous special introductory price of less than $15 delivered right to your door. Use promotion code G1, that's GOLF1, when you call to order toll-free at 877-NRA-GUN-1. That's 877-NRA-GUN and the number 1.
Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees. Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
And we're back in the studio with Evan Knappen, a gun rights attorney and author of the New Jersey Gun Law Guide. It's a bright orange book about the size of a phone book.
What's great about, makes me very proud, is that it's every issue explained and questioned and answered.
Absolutely.
So it's not just
it's like
not
having
just
an
laws.
Attorney with you,
right? So
the entire time
you can pick your topic,
right.
And then I explain it in layman terms, but I give the actual law citations so you can then look up the actual laws with yourself. But this way, the old saying is the law is a seamless web. What it means is just to jump in and read a statute doesn't fill you in on what you need to know. Right. I fill you in on what you need to know. Then you can look at the laws and it'll become even clearer and you'll have confidence in what you do in your actions. And this is important in New Jersey because every gun law is a felony.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you
Everyone.
Make one
right.
dopey little right. mistake, felony.
Let me tell you, Evan, I carry your book in the car with Post-it notes on it.
I got one in the car.
Yeah. Just in case you're ever stopped.
I got a case of them in the car.
I got them in the house. Every instructor has one.
Yep.
We have students in the class ask a question. Every class we teach, we hold it up. We tell them where to get it because it is the gun law Bible. Corey Vaughn and other listeners have told us, Evan, that they've gone to the police department to get a permit, and your book is on the case.
Oh, yeah,
on the shelf.
I got it. Yeah. Someone sent me a picture of
yes.
it. The police, the prosecutor's offices
have ordered it. I bought one for the chief of police in my town.
Well, it's good. You know why? Because I'm glad. Then I wrote it with the whole idea of what
Educating.
Of what it
yeah,
is, and,
right.
and I'm glad to see everyone should have it because it tells the truth, it explains what the laws are, and then at least the laws will get followed instead of abused, and it's right
exactly.
there.
That's exactly.
That's what we want to see.
Dan G. is freaking out right now. Let's go back to Patrick Henry and the NFA
tell you
trust.
This is important.
Come on.
So the idea of a trust is what? How does it work? You have to understand its function. In our society, we have property. So you own a gun, right? Well, it's not just the physical possession or even the constructive possession. There's also title to that gun. So there's two things in law with property, possession and title. Now, in big things like a house, you get a deed. You have written title. Or on a car, certificate of title. Well, title and possession are two different things. What a trust does is it holds the title. You still have possession. Right. See, that's why I want to explain it. So the importance here, this is why it avoids probate. Because all probate, when you boil down what a will does, when a person dies in a will, is a court having to say, I give the dead guy stuff to these living people over here. And
gotcha.
The court moves the title. Well, with a trust, the title was moved all by itself, put in an entity that automatically functions to say, these people get it, we don't need a judge. But the miracle of a title, or the brilliance of it, the trust and how title works, is that if you have your NFA firearm or suppressor or SBR in the name of the trust, now you can have the successor trustees and others all in line with it just going and remaining in the name of the trust, and you have the whole ease of the estate issues on the transfer. It's not necessary to have government involved.
So all and members of that trust can actually take...
They're in it. They're in it.
They're in it.
Bam,
so they can have
done.
Possession.
Bam,
so
right, multiple owners.
If
you
my wife,
it.
If the gun,
right.
if we both are owners of that trust, and my wife picks
exactly.
up that gun,
you're both trustees.
She's covered
you're
under
covered
the
because you're multiple owners, and that's how it's designed. So
nice.
Now, so the listener wrote a question. What about all this new garbage being proposed? Well, the fact is, under Feinstein's bill, what she wants to do is to make the every semi-auto and every magazine NFA. Wants to put it in the same category as machine guns, and then have no grandfathering except for you, the individual that now owns it, and upon your death, it is confiscated with no recompense, confiscated by the government. And that's it. So your heirs do not get
so
your
So the
trust.
Only way to protect this is,
trust. Is the living trust, an NFA trust, or a gun trust.
Now,
and
this
by
is
doing
something
gun-
that I really want to warn the listeners here. This is not something
oh,
you
don't
get
do
Jacoby.
This yourself.
Yeah,
don't try
Jacoby
this at home.
Jacoby Myers doesn't do this
don't
shit.
Don't try this
you
at home.
You need to go to someone who's this expert in
yeah, and, could, and let me tell you, I work with the top trust, gun trust in the country, Apple. Apple, Dave Goldman's a friend of mine. Thousands and thousands of his trusts on file at NFA. I have one myself. They're great, and I act as local counsel, and his group is national. I'm the state.
We can do this in
guy.
New Jersey?
You can, but at this point, you're so limited in terms of anything NFA because the state laws prohibit it. But if you have a place in Pennsylvania or in New Hampshire or others, we can help you out, and the NFA trust is a way to go. But if this other stuff happens, you're going to want to have a trust in place for that.
Gotcha.
Does that be a way
is this something
it?
That needs to be in place before this other stuff
Not,
happens?
Well, we can do a trust in like 3 days. We can have it done
Perfect.
Quickly. So keep it as a backup in Jersey. But if you're not in Jersey, get a trust because it's the way to go so you can get NFA.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming right back. God we choose liberty, reaching out to the world, her flags of freedom on.
This portion of Gun for Hire Radio is being brought to you by Gun for Hire Firearms Academy, America's urban defense institute for over 30 years, with four state-of-the-art facilities in New Jersey, two of them just minutes from New York City and Philadelphia, offering indoor and outdoor training, moving and shooting, tactical weapons training, baton, handcuff, and mace, executive protection training and certification, multi-state CCW permits, and armed security and retired law enforcement qualifications. Gun for Hire Academy is equipped with a state-of-the-art FATS, Firearms Training Simulator, and is the only training facility in the world approved for civilian, force-on-force, simmunitions training. Whether you're a beginner who's never touched a gun, or a seasoned professional looking to keep your skills sharp, you'll find something tailored just for you at Gun for Hire. Flying in from out of town? We'll pick you up at the airport. Find out more at gunforhire.com. Train where the pros do. Gun for Hire, America's Urban Defense Institute.
Liberty, reaching out to the world, her flags are free.
And we're back, and this segment is sponsored by, wow, I sound pretty good, don't I? This is sponsored by Waldorf Chiropractic. Dr. Eric was in the studio last week. Everybody heard him. Go see him. Get a checkup. Get an adjustment. Thermal imaging scan. A lot of listeners go see him already. His website is waldorfchiro.com. He's in Bridgewater, New Jersey. He's Pro 2A, NRA, instructor.
I heard he's got your back.
A whole bit. He's got,
oh,
and he's got
God.
Your back, Evan.
That's good. That's good.
Hits
he's
just keep on coming.
Waldorf Chiropractic, please show your support. They keep the wheels turning with this freaking radio show that these people are killing me. Evan.
Yes. Hey, listen, and there's something ahead to be brought up about this too, Evan, and you know this. We are very selective of who we have as sponsors on the show. If you're not Pro 2A, every single one of our sponsors is a Pro 2A person or organization. So that's what we need to do is stick, keep our money together. Like Anthony says all the time, why are we spending our money with Dick's Sporting Goods, who just pulled all their black guns off the shelf, with Walmart, who just pulled all their black guns off the shelf? We do not want to support these people. If they could sell the bumper of a 56 Chevy with more profit margin, all those shotgun shells, all that ammunition is off their shelves, and the 56 Chevy bumper is back. So please support people who support the 2A.
Right, and they want to target on the opposite end. You know, they're trying to go at us. So the anti-gun force.
Absolutely.
We got a Christmas gift, Sandy and I, from one of our listeners, this guy named Rich. Great guy.
Great. Thanks, Rich.
You want to talk about hyperinflation? Oh, he gave us framed $100 trillion bill from Zimbabwe.
From Zimbabwe.
The inflation.
Coming to a neighborhood near us.
There is. now, you know, it mirrors the Weimar Republic inflation.
Yes,
correct.
It does.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, you got to remember, there's a great story out of Germany on that. I'd like to just tell it to you for one quick second
ahead.
Here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there are two brothers in Germany. One was an accountant and the other was an alcoholic. And the accountant saved the money, and the drunkard, every chance he could get a bottle, he'd spend his money, drink the bottle, throw it in the basement. When the hyperinflation hit, the accountant was wiped out of all his savings. But the drunkard had a basement full of bottles, and that was actually worth something.
Worth a lot more than that.
So keep that in mind as you plan for your future. Right. Drink heavily and save those bottles, because when inflation hits, it'll be worth something.
Yes.
I'm saving ammo.
Ammo's great.
Ammo's
material goods.
Yes.
Yeah,
very
absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
I got another question from a listener, Skylar Durden. What do you think about this Port Authority cop in Ramsey, New Jersey, arrested with the Newtown style assault rifle?
Do you like that phrase? Newtown style now. Newtown style assault rifle.
First of all, what was taken out of the trunk was not an assault firearm. If you look at the video, there's not even proof. No one even knows, can say with certainty.
Apparently,
it was the
suppressor that was on it that made it an illegal firearm. Wait a minute. You're talking about Newtown.
Newtown.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about this guy in Ramsey.
There was a Port Authority cop who guards the George Washington Bridge for $197,000 a year, this guy makes. Thank you very much.
His wife narked on him, and he had high capacity magazines, and he had a Bushmaster Newtown style assault rifle that had a flash suppressor on it.
Okay, here's the deal. There is law enforcement exemption.
That's what I say.
It's right under.
But doesn't he need a note from his chief that it's okay for him to own that?
As long as he's had PTC training, he's certified. Done deal. So if he's had PTC on it.
Why the hell did they arrest him?
This is New Jersey. They eat their own. That's not a
thank
problem.
You. Thank you.
How many law enforcement officers have I represented on assault firearm charges and then gotten them off? One judge slammed his fists on the bench saying, "This law doesn't make any sense." I said, "That's right, it doesn't." And he dismissed the charge.
Why do you think we're here, Your Honor?
Right. Yeah, because they constantly do this. Yeah.
That's great.
Right. Absolutely.
So this guy should really be contacting you instead of Jacoby and Myers.
I'd be happy to help him.
It's unbelievable.
We had one aggressive prosecutor on that case where she was saying, he's exempt for the guns, but not the magazine. Because the magazine talked. Then I said to the judge, exemption for magazine possession is having a registered assault firearm, but law enforcement doesn't have to have it registered because they're exempt. So the judge dismissed it, right? This prosecutor is so stupid, she goes, "Judge, is that without prejudice?" Meaning she could re-bring it. He blew up and said, "You can appeal me if you wish." I mean, that was on a law enforcement guy. That was it. Didn't matter. Yeah, they said,
Jersey.
Jersey eats their own.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We eat their own.
Eat their own.
I like that.
That's what they do.
All right. I got one from like 20 of these guys. All my momos on Facebook that don't know how to send an email. Here's what they want to know. Explain justifiable need in New Jersey and explain the quick rungs to get a carry permit.
Here
hit it.
Justifiable need. Justifiable need is the phrase that is in our carry license law as one of the criteria that an individual has to show in order to qualify for a carry license.
So that would be like a $100,000 contribution to the local
court. That works. But here's the deal. Justifiable need is the trick, their scam. That's how they get you so they don't issue the license. Because everything else is an objective standard. You know, you're not a felon, you're not a DV person, et cetera, et cetera. But justifiable need. Oh, now that phrase, justifiable need, went to the courts. And the courts have interpreted it to be the most absurd anti-gun position that could ever be created. And here's how they did it. They determined that justifiable... I'll tell you what, I'll save it for the next
That's
segment.
Fine.
And I'll just give you hold exactly on how
for
it is,
justifiable how it need.
There's nothing you can do to totally prevent bad guys from doing very bad things, but you can make yourself a tough target. At home, that means building layers of security, making your home look unappealing to criminals. You can do that by installing dusk-to-dawn lighting, using big dog toys and a big dog bowl like Anthony always talks about, just inside your kitchen door, visible from the outside, reinforcing your entry doors, and planting sticker bushes beneath the ground floor windows. As for me in my house, we chose an added layer of protection surrounding our home and business, and since our zoning officer in the town frowns upon digging a moat, we chose a full protection alarm system from Prism Electronics. Dean, who owns Prism, is our personal alarm guy. He's who Anthony and I have chosen to protect our family and businesses. Now, if you're like us and you want that added layer of protection only an alarm or closed-circuit television system can bring you, be sure to call Dean at Prism Electronics. He'll come right to you, and he'll treat you right. PrismElectronics.com. I just wish you guys could be here in the studio during the break. This segment is being brought to you by Get Out Safe New Jersey.
Get Out Safe New Jersey. Frank DeMayo has been seeing a ton of activity from us listeners. GetOutSafeNJ.com.
Speaking about
survival
beating inflation.
EquipmentNJ.com. Go and buy some stuff. He's in Whippany. He will help you out. He will talk with you. He's the survival expert. If you want to prep, Frank is the guy to see. On another note, we just finished a commercial for Dean from Prism Electronics. If you don't have an alarm have a camera,
you better
call Dean up right now. I watched a video on NJ.com in Wayne.
Right.
A young guy and girl, definitely junkies, going door to door with a ball in her hand, knocking on a door saying his ball went in the yard. Can he go get it? If no one answers the door, he takes a crowbar out and he robs your house. All right. They showed the pictures of the boy and girl. They caught them. because of the video camera. All right,
exactly.
Dean will put your cameras in.
Did
Dean
you see
will
those
put
two
your
clowns?
Alarm system. They were not. They were not nervous at all.
No.
Not looking around.
No.
Cool, calm, and collected.
Absolutely.
Freaking. And
it,
what was the kid? 22. The girl was 16.
Yeah. Did you see the video camera that caught the UPS guy stealing the gifts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another.
Yeah.
Stealing the FedEx gift.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Protect your gifts too.
So
yeah.
I'm telling you,
you
it's so
do it.
Cheap
uh-huh.
today to put cameras in.
Absolutely.
You'd be dumb not to.
You really.
Okay. So go back to justifiable need.
Ah, here we go.
In the house.
And this is what stops the average law-abiding citizen from getting a carry license. And here's how the courts did it. They took justifiable need and said justifiable need means urgent necessity. Urgent necessity. And you're saying, well, where is this coming from? Well, the court, only the court could do this. Justifiable, see that word justify and justifiable need? Oh, well, did you know that goes to justification? Justification is the legal term for self-defense. And we call self-defense, what's it under? Justification for the use of force. So the court contrived that the legislature must have meant, when they said justifiable need, that they meant justification under self-defense, which means that you have to apply what's necessary for the use of deadly force to meet the standard. Hence, it becomes one in which you must show, under justifiable need, a two-part test that says, first of all, you are subjected to threats of serious bodily harm or injury or death. Okay,
that's
and
just
it has to
living
be,
in New Jersey.
It has to be you as a person individually, not that you go in a high-crime area, not that you're carrying lots of money or medical supplies or anything like that. No, 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 no. It means you have to be essentially needing self-defense, needing justification, the use of deadly force before you need it. You have to be able to show the court this. You see, that's their trick. And then you have to show that it's necessary for carrying a handgun to avert that threat. That is the ridiculously high standard that must be met. So you basically have to prove that you are justified in the use of deadly force before you're justified in the use of deadly force. Before you've encountered the threat that will kill you, you have to prove that that threat is coming your way. Otherwise, in New Jersey, you must endure the threat and die. Now, once the threat has happened and killed you, you would qualify for a carry license then.
You see?
Absolutely.
How simple
so
is that?
So this is how it works.
What is the question?
This is the problem.
I think we should get,
justifiable need.
Under FIFO, we should get a list of all the carry permit holders in the state of New Jersey. And Evan's right. We should look and see all the judges.
This
and
is what
all
it'll show. All the political cronies.
All the hacks.
And all the hacks. And all the people that
and the celebrities and the sports.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Right. And the
Let's
folks
go.
That run waste management companies and other things. You're going to find
there
all that in there.
No such thing. Yeah,
I
as
did,
the
oh,
mafia.
I didn't say mafia.
Stop it.
I just said waste management.
Frank,
you're going to find that that all these people are there, and the average citizen gets it jammed to them. And what's their little way of doing it? Oh, you didn't have justifiable need.
Frank from NJ2AS.
Right.
Let's get it under FIFO. Let's go.
So
let's get rolling with
there's
that.
There's a potential there. But I got to tell you, you know, with all this going on in Newtown and what have you, it's been activists like myself and Scott over here, Scott Bach, and others will vouch, be getting a lot of threats and other wackos calling.
I'm
that,
used to that.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know, you're like a magnet for that. But I tell you what, I had a call from somebody. You know, we've all had to deal with this, but he called up at the law office. I'm thinking, well, he starts going into an anti-gun kind of tirade. So I'm trying to be, I'm thinking, my first thing is maybe I could hit him with some logical arguments and try to show
doesn't
him.
Work.
Of course,
there's
it doesn't
your
work.
First mistake.
But I did make that mistake. So I start trying to explain it. And all it did was build his frustration, I guess, because, you know, the truth makes him want to explode. And then this guy called me something. I'm still in shock. He goes, "You're a gun nigger." And I go,
"What?
What? I never heard of such a, I mean, what the hell is that?" And he goes, I said, "Well, you know what? F you." And I did proper phone etiquette and hung up. But I started thinking, what the hell is a gun nigger? This is what he called me. I mean, I figured out he's a hoplophobist.
Yes,
in other words,
yeah,
racist
right. yeah.
and hoplophobia
right, exactly.
combined. But these
right.
are the idiots that are out there that are against our rights.
Okay, but that brings me back to what we always talk about, where these laws come from. All these gun banning laws came from. They're Jim Crow laws.
They are. Well, the earliest gun laws in New Jersey were against blacks and Indians.
Still are. If you look at where the map started, they were all in Essex County. All the counties to the south in New Jersey were counties that were very open, number one, to harboring freed slaves, and number two, to the possession of firearms, even by the freed slaves. But in Essex County, Hudson County, Union County, Bergen County, all the counties in the north that are heavily populated, which were the industrialized counties at the time, were all against anyone owning guns.
Well, you got to see what the black codes then after, because the South wanted to still restrict the blacks. It was the black codes that said that only the most expensive military models could be possessed, because they know the blacks would. So the earliest Saturday night special laws, and they're based on it too. Saturday night special laws is keeping blacks disarmed, and even in Heller and McDonald, the part of the opinion references how it was focused on blacks. And look at the Dred Scott decision, which says you know, we can't let this black freeman, because he'll have. He'll have the ability to keep and bear arms. And we can't have blacks having guns.
We can't have that. I mean, how are we going to lynch him?
Well,
if he's
look,
got a
even
gun?
With the so-called assault firearms, when you hear him say, well, it's a choice of drug dealers, I mean, this is really just code, again, for racism.
Right.
The 68 Gun Control Act was passed to control blacks, and that's
after
from Robert Sherrill.
Absolutely.
And the Saturday Night
Special.
We had Hughes from New Jersey. We've got to stop those people, meaning the ones rioting, those people.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I mean, this for the 68 Gun, I mean, this is a history that is founded in racism. And so if you're truly civil rights, then you want blacks and all minorities and all free law-abiding people to be able to own firearms.
But look at the brainwashing.
Right.
If you look at percentage of minorities, only 22% of Spanish minorities believe we should own guns, and only 28% of black minorities believe we should own guns.
Well,
so talk about brainwashing over the past 100
years. It's even worse, because you've seen the new 4473? What does it ask? Now you have to say whether you're Hispanic or not
you
Hispanic.
You have to deny the fact
imagine,
that you're
is that
Hispanic
what if it said Jew or not a Jew? Would that be okay?
Yeah.
Well, we're getting there.
I mean,
we're going to be
this?
Wearing
this. Is, yeah, that's why
we're
going to
be wearing a star.
Exactly.
Right.
So this runs through it. Racism. Gun law is full of evil. I mean, all these gun laws, it runs through with evil, from privacy violations, property confiscations, taxations, racism, all present in our gun laws that the left somehow treasures. It's insane.
Well, look at what happened. You talked about Weimar before.
Mm-hmm.
When Hitler did not take over Germany. Hitler was handed Germany because Hitler raised his hand and said, I will save you. I'll make sure that no one here starves again. And when Hitler realized that he had to get the weapons out of the Jews' hands because he had ethnic cleansing right from the beginning, what did he do? He came to the U.S. and borrowed our gun laws verbatim to import into Germany, to be able to register and confiscate the firearms that were there. It wasn't the other way around.
Correct.
They took it from here to Germany.
Well, the thing is, Kristallnacht was all premised on taking guns from the Jews.
That's the night of broken glass.
Yes.
Right. That was what it was premised
on. Yes, absolutely.
Take guns from the Jews.
You know, so that's what's going to be. We're all going to be wearing a star pretty soon, or a round of ammo, a bullet or something on our arm to signify
us as gun owners. One of those bad guys.
The problem is we ain't lining up.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's the problem.
Well, the problem is a lot of us will line up.
Not me.
And no, I get it.
There
are a lot of people out there. And again, we're talking about the fragmentation of gun owners here in the state of New Jersey, too, where you've got shotgunners who just shoot skeet and they don't care about.
Shotguns are included in the
assault. In fine season.
And those people that will oppose, they're called three percenters. It's what it's known as. It's estimated that 3% of all gun owners will resist with violence.
Physical
resistance.
How apropos, there's
3%.
Only 4 million members of the NRA
right.
and 100 and so, million
right.
gun owners.
Right, so that's what they're
exactly.
saying.
Okay.
Yeah, 3%. I wonder what we have, but
you
know, there you go.
Now, you used the N-word twice, that our Hollywood... our Hollywood glitterati. I read where there's a comeback now because Quentin Tarantino, anti-gun, outspoken Quentin Tarantino, on average, 9,000 people are killed in each one of his movies.
Yeah.
That new movie, Django Unchained, the N-word...
I like that movie, actually.
Yeah, but a lot of black people, like Spike Lee, came out and said they used the N-word 118 times in the movie.
Well, yeah, but you know... It's political correctness, and you know, they want to remove it from Tom Sawyer, right?
I believe that's wrong.
The problem is, it's the word is how. Look, I just related that word because it's something that was said to me. I don't use that word in my conversations, but that's what this guy said to me.
You called me a Caucasian earlier.
That's
today.
True. That's true. Okay. But I don't. You know, I don't usually even think in those terms, which was just utterly shocking. But the fact is that when you talk about freedom of speech, and you talk about if you make a word so touchy like that. It actually improves the power of it. Because,
exactly.
Think about this.
Exactly.
Do you get offended if someone calls you a Yankee? We even name a baseball team after it. But that was the pejorative that the British called us. It was like calling the N-word to the colonists, but it was the Y-word.
Sure.
Yeah, but what did we do? We made it a thing of pride. Oh, now no one even... How about a pig? Can you call a cop a pig? Will that, does that affect him these days?
No, pig.
He'll laugh. Yeah, we're a pig. They wear little pig buckles and pig this.
Right.
They turned it around. No one thinks about being called a pig.
Wait a minute. So you're saying if we perpetuate the N-word, we're going to end up with the St. Louis niggers?
That is really... Well, look. The thing is, if you dilute its impact...
Well, yeah.
If you dilute its impact,
then
it doesn't have the offensive...
Exactly. That would be a good thing.
Think about it. But if you went to a founding father and said, I play for the Yankees, you might say, what? You know, why are you using that word?
You know,
to be your
this
so
is gonna
it's about how language and its impact. You gotta diffuse it.
This whole conversation is gonna be have to be approved by Ainsley, our
CPA, our resident CPA.
Leave him alone. He's gonna slap you,
I
man.
Know. What
Ainsley is our minority censor and our minority majority.
Why? Because he's an accountant? What's that got to do with anything?
Ainsley's big man approved like us.
Take Blazing Saddles. How many times has it said that?
I love that movie.
But the whole idea is it's the opposite. I mean, Mel Brooks was pushing an anti-racist statement. But we take it out of... Again...
We've become way too frigging sensitive.
It doesn't make sense to do what we're doing now.
Give us some light at the end of the tunnel. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen with New Jersey, with right to carry and stuff? I know Scott and Dan are working on it, but what are your feelings, Evan?
Well, here's the deal.
Give us some ideas.
Here's the deal. We had Illinois, of course, that decision where they invalidated having no carry system. But we've had the case in Jersey so far, which is on appeal. And we had New York's court rule that their justifiable need variant is okay. It's going to come down to a head on whether that justifiable need type wishy-washy, arbitrary type provision is constitutional under our rights. This is what has to be determined. It was determined that it wasn't in Maryland, right? So we're getting this mix of decisions, which is good, because that's when the Supreme Court takes the case. So eventually my hope is the Supreme Court will finally take the case and say, does the squishy-wishy arbitrary language that allows for corrupt officials to issue licenses to only those they want to, is that constitutional or not?
Like
I want that decision.
Bloomberg.
So, this is what we need to see. And so that's where it's heading. And you know what? It's actually encouraging that we actually have a shot finally. Because before Heller, before McDonald, before the awakening of the importance of concealed carry.
Do you really think we have
carry,
a shot now after this political
This is the other thing. NRA, give it credit for changing the discourse, at least diverting the argument some degree to the idea of using self-defense.
Okay? Yeah.
So now we have people thinking about arming schools, arming teachers, arming themselves. The idea of carry and self-defense is a modern, in our lifetimes, we've seen this explode and to have a great importance throughout the country. This is stuff that gives me hope because this didn't exist 30 years ago.
Right.
Who carried 30 years? Right. Look at where we are now. We've come, we're like man on the moon now with this. Look how far we've come.
Yep.
So there is room for optimism and truth is on our side. I'm still at heart an optimist, and this is why. Because we have the truth. We have the truth, guys. It is. We know that
light
the answer
always wins over darkness.
Right, and it will. And we just got to keep plugging.
And the
we
got to keep making it clear.
The force is strong.
Well,
it is strong.
And because we have this, nothing an air freshener couldn't fix. But here's the deal.
Thank you, Evan,
this
for
is good.
That
but
up.
If you have right, but this is why we're optimistic, and we don't want to lose our sense of humor about it, and we just keep the good fight, and we can win because we have the arguments are on our side, man. We got it.
Now, what do we do as the people in the meantime? What would you suggest?
Bury our heads. No, what we need to do is
we're doing
do all the things that we all, you know, making our voices heard, making sure the politicians hear it, making sure the newspapers hear it, writing those letters, all those things that the individuals do that listen to the show, it makes a difference. It adds up. They need to see and hear us.
Get active. Okay? You hear
this
that,
is
guys?
Why, this is why the show is on. This is why I do this show and come on. It, you know, this is what it's all about. Yeah. But you don't have to do a show. I mean, there's any...
No, just
every
get
bit.
Active. If every and single I'll, one of you people out there and, did something...
And take someone who's in the middle on guns and take them shooting.
Yes, exactly.
Expose them to the fun of guns and how much... And make them a gun owner.
Because we often forget, with all the yelling and discourse and back and forth, we forget how fun this is.
It is fun.
We get into this for the fun of
and
it.
And I've also said, you know, the other thing that I have a lot of hope is that zombies are still with us. The whole zombie thing has really made people wake up. By the way, did I tell you that you need to know that Feinstein is actually part of the zombie apocalypse conspiracy? And this explains why. I want to tell you why. Because this zombie virus is actually created by man, and there's an elite group to wipe out the rest of humanity. She's part of it, and here's the proof, because look, the guns she wants to get rid of. All the best zombie guns. All the best. I mean, basically, her list is a list that the Walking Dead would die to have every gun on that list, right? I mean, that, you know, the heroes in that entire television series, every one of those guns is perfect. You know, multi-shot, accurate, wonderful, perfect for zombie killing. And the fact that she's trying to get rid of them shows she's part of the zombie apocalypse conspiracy.
You're saying that Di-Fi is a zombie?
Well, partially, because what happens is they get the injection of the antidote, which partially makes them, but not like the, yeah.
That
this is how they're going to take
over.
I know, and I thought I'd share that with you so that you guys would understand.
Because
everyone always
medication,
says,
Evan.
Right, everyone always says, why? Because it's such a non sequitur. You know, why does, this doesn't make sense, you do this in response to what happened. But once you understand it's part of the zombie apocalypse conspiracy, then you know. Then it all makes sense.
I'm frightened. It's time for Evan's medication.
Oh, Evan, yeah. Thank you so much for being on the
my
show.
My pleasure, guys.
Driving 4 hours to come down here and spend.
I
now we're
going
to go eat heavy and smoke cigars.
You got it, man.
So what's going on with Gun for Hire Academy?
January 10th to 13th,
training,
we will be in Edison at the Garden State Outdoor Expo, booth 336.
336.
In Edison. Impressive. On January 13th, Urban Pistol Level 1 in Cedar Grove. On January 20th, Force on Force Home Invasion Simunitions in Belleville. On January 24th, First Steps Airsoft BB Gun Pellet Gun.
Very nice.
Teach your kids not to shoot their eye out. On Sunday, February 24th, Smokin' Gun 3, Guns, Food, and Cigars. Remember, all Gun for Hire alumni get every class half off. Build-A-Bear, build your own AR anytime with Jimmy the Gun Guy. If you want to have a shooting party or a birthday party or a corporate party, we do it all.
Build your own AR now while you still can.
Build it while you can, baby. Feinstein's coming for it.
Feinstein.
Well, you've all done it again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barardi. On behalf of attorney Evan Knappen, master trainer Anthony Calandro, and the rest of the crew here at Gun for Hire Radio, we do thank you for listening. Please stay active, please stay safe, and keep away from those anti-gun lunatics. See you again next week.
From sea to the shine.